This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's Monday, time for our Zoomer squad, and it's Eclipse Day. And I would love to hear from our audience as well as our panelists on what their plans are for the afternoon. Also, what is the reaction to Prime Minister Trudeau's budget roadshow as he's been touring the country and making billions and billions of dollars worth of promises? And what of promises already made? We have often talked here about how long it takes this Liberal government to actually hand out promised money. Often, you have to re-elect them at least once, and maybe twice, to see it. Well, a new poll finds widespread support for a new disability benefit that was passed into law last summer. But they seem to be nowhere near making good on that promise. And the vacant homeowner tax fiasco here in Toronto. It has apparently been reversed for most people who received erroneous bills. But by the way, you have to go online to find out what has happened to your complaint. And it may be reversed, but not before causing a lot of grief and stress and time waste for those people. And that, of course, includes a lot of older people. So let us start there. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And once again, I want to know if your erroneous tax bill has been reversed or what you've done with the whole thing, and also plans for the eclipse.
And now, time for the Zoomer Squad.
And now let's go to Bill Van Gorder, Chief Advocacy and Education Officer at CARP, Anthony Quinn, Chief Community Officer of CARP, and Lauren Bozanoff, President of the Forum Research Group. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Libby.
Okay, let us go around and get some eclipse plans. Anthony, what about you?
Well, I'm working from home today in Oakville, so we're in the path of the moon's shadow. So I tend to look outside. My kids are off school today because the schools decided to switch their professional development day, so the kids would be off. And we'll stick our heads out with a pair of glasses and have a look.
Okay. Are the kids all excited?
I wouldn't say excited, but they're interested to see what it's like.
Okay. What about you, Bill? What are your plans?
Well, like Anthony, I'm working today, and I'll be in the middle of some meetings when that happens. But I imagine it'll get dark outside my window. Frankly, I am still not convinced about the reasons for the great interest in this natural occurring event. Although here in Nova Scotia, where I am, I'm right as a part of it, so it will go dark.
Lauren, what about you?
Well, I'm going to be out on the balcony in downtown Toronto watching everything.
Okay, well, I am hoping to leave the Plex right after the show and get to a spot that should be pretty good. It is probably traffic depending. We've been warned so much about the traffic. I think it might actually not be that bad. I'm going with my husband. We're prepared to be disappointed if we can't get to where we're going, and I will be calling in with the scoop on what's going on. So I'm looking forward to that. Again, people, the numbers to call if you want to share your plans or talk about that vacancy tax, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And Anthony, did you hear from members of CARP who got those bills by mistake?
We haven't heard from any members who got the bills by mistake, but they certainly did complain about it, the ones who were following the issue. When the Mayor Tory, I guess, first announced it, and the fact that every Toronto resident would have to self-report. And that process was fraught, certainly from the beginning, and now I think Mayor Chow is having to deal with that mess.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least three people that I know, and these are people who are pretty savvy and on top of their paperwork, got vacancy taxes, even though they are very much in their homes. And for them, I mean, it's stressful getting a tax bill that is not it's not warranted, and then you have to figure out what are you going to do to reverse the mistake. It's really time consuming, and again, it's stressful, Bill. What's your reaction?
Oh, I absolutely agree. This is the kind of thing, you know, when older Canadians get a tax bill from the government, their inclination is to say, this must be right, I'm wrong, and to pay it. And what we're concerned about is how many people who are older, who don't understand, maybe are not familiar with the languages they should be, how many people went ahead and paid this when they shouldn't have to? And what is the city going to do to make sure that they have an opportunity to get their money back? It's one thing not to have to pay the $21 for the update, but if they've paid $3,000 or more, that could be a crucial issue.
Well, the first installment is not due till May the 15th, so I think there probably aren't that many people who actually already paid it. Lauren, what kind of buzz have you been hearing about that?
Well, I think it's safe to say that the Chow honeymoon is over. You know, coming out of the election, she had very high approval ratings, in the 70% range. And just after, when she announced the tax increases, she was still at about 55%. But I think all that's over now. I think the honeymoon is really over because of this.
Well, she was very quick to say that it wasn't her mess, that she had to clean it up. But she said that on quite a number of issues lately. Is it, I mean, it's kind of the old thing. It seems pretty standard for any government of any stripe when they come in to blame whatever on the previous government. Is that wearing thin with her residents?
You know what, I really think so. And the thing is, this reinforces the image of the left as not being careful with the taxpayers' money. And this will look like a careless mistake. And in terms of accountability, no one's losing their job or anything is being done about it. So I think this is really going to kill the honeymoon for her.
It's interesting. We are going to be talking to Councillor Paula Fletcher later, and she kind of laid the blame at the feet of staff. And I think that there's a general feeling that the rules for them, for very well-paid public servants in this case, is very different. The rules are very different than they are for the rest of us, and that there's little accountability, not much responsibility, if any, and they just keep getting very hefty raises while people can't pay their grocery bills. Anthony.
And there's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars of bureaucratic nonsense spent on trying to clean this up. I think I heard Councillor Matlow say they were going to be sending letters out to at least 60 plus thousand Torontonians to update them. So there's $70,000 or $80,000 out the door, wasted money, and they're trying to stop people from owning homes, not living in them. But I think the entire idea of not being allowed to own your home and live where you care to in Canada is I think that's a non-starter from my point of view. I think it's an unfair tax.
Yeah, I'm curious to know. They've said that the last time I looked, they said the erroneous tax bill had been reversed for all but about 7,500. That was on the weekend, or what, it was Friday. So I'm sure more have been reversed. I'm curious to know how they did that so quickly. I'm quite curious, but you're right. I mean, the cost of right now, if you want to figure out what happened with your particular bad tax bill. You have to go online, but they will be sending out those letters, and there's a cost to that, and also a cost to the time. The time that the civil servants spend doing this, they're obviously not doing anything else. Let's take a call from Bill in Toronto. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Libby. So this program's 1 year old, right? And it's a total epic fail right out of the gate. I mean, these guys can't even get it right. So now they'll probably lose money correcting the problem. They're a disaster. Maybe we should just pay them to stay at home.
I think they are staying at home, Bill. They work from home, or they, I put air quotes, work from home.
No, but honestly, Libby, how much, you know, you look at it, 7% increase, a 10% increase. They want it, Olivia's, you know, who's going to stop the rain? It's the Olivia Chow. How much tax can they take off me? And even when they do something like this that's supposed to make things better, they make things worse.
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
But well, you know what? Say hi to Paula Fletcher because she's part of the problem.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes, Anthony.
Torontonians, especially seniors, should have the right to leave their home for more than 6 months without having to pay a 1% levy on the home that they own. It's just ridiculous that you would get a $10,000 bill if you happen to spend 6 months in a different part of the world.
Well, you know what, Anthony, it does dovetail. If you want to keep your OHIP coverage, you can't be away more than 6 months at a time. So it does dovetail with that. And most people that I know are pretty careful to respect that 6 months at a time because they don't want to lose their health coverage.
Well, that may be the case for Ontario taxpayers for health care coverage. But as an individual, as someone who's free in a free country, to be taxed a 1% cost on the value of your home, not on your tax bill, but on the value of your home. There's a lot of seniors, there's a lot of expat Canadians, a lot of new Canadians who spend time in two countries, and they're being, I think, unfairly taxed.
Okay, well, do you agree with that, Bill?
Yes, I do. It's Big Brother to the nth degree, and it's trying to solve a problem by laying the blame somewhere other than where it should be, and that's a government's at all levels their inability to provide the kind of housing and support the housing that's needed, and to go back to these people that Anthony rightly describes, many people who, for very good reasons, aren't in their house all the time, is inappropriate and unfair and frankly unethical.
Speaking of housing measures and trying to get it right, Lauren, the Prime Minister has been on a pre-budget roadshow that feels a lot like an election campaign, frankly. And he's been sprinkling billions and billions, a lot of that money towards housing. What's your sense of the reception of that?
You know what? First of all, I think it's too little too late. You know, he's many, many years into his you know, since he first became prime minister. I think people are getting a little bit tired of him and just throwing money at problems without seemingly to actually solve any problems. And I think that's going to backfire on them.
Anthony, speaking of the roadshow, what about these pre-budget, these budget measures that we've been hearing about? I mean, I don't think there will be much of anything that's a surprise in the actual budget next week. How have CARP members been reacting, and what do you think? Is there enough in there for older Canadians?
I'm surprised at just how much of a roadshow it is. Budgets used to be something that were quite private and not revealed until after the lockup. And you were in those media lockups in the past when the budget was a state secret until the day it was announced. Now they're using it for purely political purposes. I think the voters will see through it, unfortunately.
Is there anything, be that as it may, is there anything in there that you like or really don't like?
Well, I think Bill's going to have to be the one to respond to that on behalf of CARP.
Bill?
Yeah, well, there certainly have been some announcements that begin to appeal. The problem is the announcements he's making, the one that we're going to be talking about around disability, the dental care, the pharmacare, have not been full announcements. They're just announcements. We're planning to do something with no meat in them, no details, and announcing them many times. So is there anything that they're actually doing right now, where there's action that we can see? Not currently, no.
Okay, that's not a very good review. It's interesting, this whole change of approach. Again, very late in the mandate, the Prime Minister really looks pumped, Lauren, and his poll numbers have gone up a little bit lately for the Liberals, but still it's hard to see them catching up to the Conservatives.
Yeah, they're in a disaster situation right now. And remember, he took them from a disaster situation when they were like the third or fourth party, whatever they were. When he took over, the Liberals were really down in the dumps, and they may end up there again unless they can turn this around. And I think just throwing money at problems, or talking about throwing money at problems and maybe not actually even doing it, is not nearly enough for them.
And what about this roadshow? You're saying people are seeing through it. Is there any value in it?
Well, they're paying people off with their own dollars, and they're unfortunately putting it on the backs of future generations. $10 billion deficits have turned into $40 billion deficits. Who knows what this budget will have? But it's money that we don't have. We're borrowing it, and we have to pay the cost.
One thing we do know is that people are not turning out in droves to attend these announcements. If you look at any of the photos or watch them, all the people you see in the background are party people who have to be there. They're certainly not appealing to the general public and don't seem to be making much effort to get the general public to come out to them. They're very quiet pre-announcement. They're really intended for the media, not for the local people, and I think the local people are seeing through that.
As opposed to what Pierre Poilievre is getting with his election-style rallies, I guess.
Well, he is, and he's not announcing anything, and he's getting much more attention than the prime minister is. It's interesting to see the different approaches of the two parties, and then you have the NDP, who don't really seem to be anywhere these days ever since the pharmacare announcement.
Huh. It's interesting. Traditionally, just in a general sense, older people, Zoomers, tend to be conservative, vote conservative, but especially Zoomer women seem to really like this Liberal government. And I wonder, Lauren, if that trend is being reversed now.
Well, I think it's still partly there. And those Zoomer women, I think, harken back to the first Trudeau, the Pierre Trudeau administration in those days. And it's a bit of a nostalgia play here for their support for Trudeau. Just though, talking about the Conservatives, they may be peaking a little bit too soon. They are on a roll, and they have been on a roll, but their numbers are starting to get down a little bit. People are becoming more familiar with them, and I think they're going to lose some of their luster.
Okay, let's take a call from Angelo in North York. Hello, Angelo.
Oh, hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. Libby, my wife, she paid the first two rates, okay, February and March. It was $742.
Sorry, then for what? For Thursday, what?
On my tax, property tax.
Oh, property tax. Go ahead. Yes, yeah, sorry. Go
then,
ahead.
Then, on Thursday last week, I got another letter from what's called our fearless leaders from the government, that I owe them $2,227 per rate, per installment.
Uh-huh. For what? Is that your personal tax bill, they said?
Yeah. And as I called them, I called 311, and I told them, I said, I've been living in the same house for the last 54 years.
Okay, so it's the vacant tax that you got.
Right,
for the.
But my house, I told them, my house hasn't been vacant, not even for 1 second in 54 years.
And how did that really stress you out? You said you called 311, but I'm not sure
then
that's...
They told me to go see my my counselor. So this morning I went to see my counselor, James Pasternak, and she had to refile online. Thank God that she did, because I have no computer, no internet. Okay. And she said, now wait for the letter. She said, Bob, don't pay yet.
Right. They say they've reversed a lot, but you have to make the complaint online and then go online to see if it's reversed. And we've just been talking that they're going to spend all kinds of extra time and money getting these letters to people. Did you feel stressed when you didn't know what this tax was about?
Sure. I'm 79 years young, you know, and I don't need this. Believe me, I don't need this.
I'll say.
You know. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to my story. All the best.
Okay, all the best to you as well. Well, you know, last week when these things were just arriving, there were huge lineups at City Hall. I'm glad to hear that Angelo did not have any trouble going to see his counselor, which is James Pasternak, somebody we talk to very often here. But, you know, it's just such a mess. It was such a mess. And it's people like Angelo. He's, as he said, I think he summed it up pretty well. He's 79 years old and he doesn't need this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it. He also said he doesn't have a computer. He doesn't use the internet. And if the city thinks they're going to solve the problem for all the seniors who have been given this tax bill incorrectly, going online isn't going to be the easiest thing for them.
No, yeah. It was not going to be easy. We know from our surveys and others that as many as 30% of older Canadians don't have access to a computer or don't use it for anything other than email. So because of the demographic this is hitting, there's every opportunity that 30% of the older Torontoians who've got this bill will not be able to easily object.
Right. But a lot of them, I suspect, I mean, the city did say they're having more staff in person for people who want to do this in person. But it's just another mess.
And stressful.
Yes. We do have a few more minutes if you want to share your story about the vacant tax or let us know what you're doing to catch that eclipse. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-744-740. It's Monday, our Zoomer Squad day, and let's get to this interesting poll done for the Daily Bread Food Bank about this disability benefit. So there's a new disability benefit that was passed in June. And the question is, will it be in the budget? There's no sign of that. I believe that when it was passed, the word was take at least a year to get it ready. And again, it seems to be thing after thing, promise after promise from this government. It just takes a very long time to happen.
Yes. You're right. It does. And there are three key things that we don't know yet. And the people who might be eligible don't. We don't know what the eligibility is going to be. We don't even know the amount of the benefit. And we don't know whether or not the provincial governments will claw back existing supports to a maximum, because there's still a question about whether or not the people will only be allowed to have up to the poverty line, or the low income line, as they now called, or some other amount. So at the moment, it's vaporware. And by the way, CARP has been working with the March of Dimes and Prosper Canada on this issue for the last 8 or 9 months. And I checked with my colleagues again today, and there's no indication yet that there's going to be anything definite in the budget.
Okay, well, I, you know, maybe we'll get a surprise. There was a good surprise in the provincial budget that was recently unveiled, but I certainly wouldn't be getting my hopes up. And, you know, this government also, the thing that they're doing is they're getting up in provincial jurisdiction. And I don't want to get into the weeds in this, but they announce these things that they actually need buy-in from the provinces, and not all the provinces are buying, Lauren.
PharmaCare and dental care, perfect examples of that.
Lauren?
Yeah, so you know what? They want to get it out there, the whole idea. They're supporting this. And if it gets delayed, I think, by the provincial governments, that's sort of on the provinces. It's not on them. So I think they're trying to just signal, oh, yeah, this is our intention. And they'll get a lot of publicity from that without, you know, for a long time before they actually have to launch it and pay for it and so forth.
Anthony?
Well, those waiting and in need on disability, living in the poverty line really is not a life of dignity. So if the federal government can find a way to increase those payments, I can't see the province wanting to roll back their contributions and forcing them to live at the poverty line, too. There are some disabled people who can work, but they refuse to, or they can't, because they know that their funds will get rolled back further than the amount they get paid, or they will stop qualifying for disability. So it's a mess, and it has to be fixed.
Well, that will be one of the many things we'll be watching for next week. Our time is up. I'm just going to give everybody 20 seconds. See, what do you want to leave us with, starting with Bill?
Enjoy the eclipse and remember not to look directly at the sun.
Okay. Lauren?
Olivia Chow won by 5% last time. So she'll have quite a race on her hands, I think.
Well, yeah, and she's not serving a full term. Anthony, last word to you.
Well, just to follow on Lauren's point, then the more conservative voices at the election table split the vote last time. Perhaps they'll get their act.
Oh, we're losing you there. Okay, perhaps they'll get their act together is what I think I heard you say. On that note, we wrap things up. Thanks so much, Bill Van Gorder, Anthony Quinn, and Lauren Bozanoff. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Libby.
Okay. Bye, Libby.
Bye. We are taking a break, and when we come back, we will be talking to John Reed, the head of the Toronto Police Association, about that letter, which six city councillors signed, expressing concern about the way police have been handling those pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protests, because there were a couple of arrests, presumably, when people did not protest in a lawful way. But we are going to talk to him about that and why he's so upset about it when we come back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. There is more reaction to a letter signed by six city councillors expressing their dismay at how police handled recent pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protests. The letter was entitled Protecting the Right to Protest in Our City. Protesters had complained of excessive use of force, but the police maintained they only used necessary force to contain some violence at those protests. Now, one councillor who sits on the police board, Lily Chang, has since walked back her support for the letter. And I talked to Toronto Police Association President John Reed about his reaction to that, as well as his demand for the mayor to condemn the letter and remove two of the signatories from the police board. John Reed, thanks so much for joining us.
Libby, thank you very much for having me today.
What is your reaction to that letter signed by six councillors?
The entire letter provided by the six councillors is nothing but reckless. You know, I've seen this letter, I'm looking at it, and it concerns me deeply that such a letter would be put out by these six councillors. These councillors are supposed to be leaders in the community to assist in running the city. Yet, I think as everybody's seen this, this is more of a support for some of these demonstrations that have been going on which have become unlawful. You know, there's nothing in this letter that discusses, you know, attending these protests, do it in a lawful, safe, respectful manner. That, to me, would have been balanced. That made some sense. But there's nothing here, and we've heard nothing.
It's very interesting. I mean, it came after some of those protesters accused police of using excessive force. Do you think that the councillors just took them at their word without looking into it?
I think they were just reacting to some of the media coverage and some of the complaints from some of the people involved in the protests. And I can tell you that that protest in particular, which they're referencing, that was a protest where we had officers. One officer, I believe, was they attempted to spear the officer with a flagpole. There was horse feces thrown at some of the officers. There were individuals that once the officers were attempting to arrest somebody, they came to try and stop the arrest. And that in of itself is a criminal offense as well. And those individuals were arrested. So I really think the councillors, all six of them, need to have a deep, hard look at themselves and decide, you know, where do they want things to go? Because I really think this has to change. We need to show the city that the officers out there doing the job every day, keeping myself safe, you safe, the mayor safe, and all these councillors safe, are going to be supported for the job they're doing.
Lily Chang has walked her support back. She said she didn't have a chance to see the final draft. Do you accept that as an excuse or an explanation?
No, I don't. I think, once again, as with any of our officers, as with any kind of public official, you're responsible for what you put your name to. And I think that's an important piece. You know, I'd like to say, hey, let's show us the piece which you did put your name to and see if it's very different from what we have now.
Do you think these are left-wing councillors? The left generally supports these pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protests. Do you think that's what it's about?
I think that's part of the agenda. But I think, once again, that is so short-sighted. Our men and women are out there to ensure everybody can go about their business in the city. The people who want to have these demonstrations and protests can exercise their constitutional rights to demonstrate, but do it safely and respectfully. And if these councillors aren't going to get behind doing things respectfully and safely, you know, I don't know what else we can do with them. You know, it's just reckless. I honestly truly believe that this whole idea of putting this letter out.
You have asked the mayor to condemn this letter and to express support for the police. Where's that at?
So I actually had a message back from the mayor on Friday, and she was going to give me a call. And I guess, unfortunately, she got tied up, and I haven't heard anything since. So I'm still waiting.
And what are you really looking for from her?
I think that these two councillors on the police services board, quite honestly, should be removed. And then as far as the mayor goes, once again, the mayor, her job is to bring this city together, to be a leader. Not to be divisive, to be supportive of the police service. You know, the police officers in this city work for the police services board, because technically the police services board is the employer, not the city of Toronto. But I think ultimately, you know, the mayor is the figurehead of the city, and we need to have her come out and support police.
Anything else you want to leave us with?
No, I just wanted to thank you very much for your time. You know, and I really hope, even if there's any of the protesters listening, anybody, the police officers are out there to look after you, make sure you're safe and you have that ability to protest safely. And I would ask that you respect all the police officers for the job they're doing.
Okay. John Reed, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ray. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. And we will have reaction from Councillor Paula Fletcher, one of the signatories to that letter, after the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, you just heard the head of the Toronto Police Association's take on that letter signed by six councillors. Now we're going to get reaction from Councillor Paula Fletcher, who is the councillor for Ward 14, Toronto Danforth. Hi, Paula. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Libby. Thanks for having me on.
So what is your reaction to what you heard from John Reed?
You look, Toronto is just a place. We are a world city, and there are we share the pain always of wars around the world. And really and truly, there are many protests everywhere around the world right now, not just in our city. There's protests in Toronto, there's protests in Ottawa, there's protests in Israel, there's protests in Germany. So we're just in that moment where we all have to just stay calm. I'd say that's our moment in Toronto, Libby.
But why were you concerned about the way the police handled it when they arrested people who were acting violently and unlawfully?
Well, we did hear from a number of people, and I did see the horses going in far beyond and far earlier. And once the horses are in there, things get really, they really go to ground. And so I just think that that was a moment to say, yes, enforce the law when it's broken. But let's remember, we all have the right in this country to peaceful assembly. It's in our charter rights. And these aren't illegal demonstrations.
No, but they're not necessarily peaceful. I mean, I can see why they thought the force was excessive, because until then they've gotten away with making death threats, blocking hospitals, blocking roads, and intimidating Jewish communities with no action. So,
there are. I would say that there are just so many tensions right now. These big demonstrations aren't necessarily doing what you've just said, but there are large numbers of people that are coming out to support. I wouldn't say they're there to support Hamas. I think that's wrong. I think they're there to support the Palestinian folks and what's going on in the Middle East. And they'd like a ceasefire. That's what I see in all of these demonstrations.
Well, they parrot Hamas slogans. They might not be aware of them. The Hamas charter is annihilating Israel. I mean, I don't even want to get into that. If they're chanting,
I understand. We don't want to get into that.
The
ceasefire is the main call at these large demonstrations. And I will say that I thought on Saturday with that large demonstration that and the chief in his letter on Friday said, you know, I'm in touch with Jewish organizations, I'm in touch with Muslim organizations, I'm in touch with all of the organizers, and we're really working to keep everything as peaceful as possible. And I do believe Chief Demchuk and that. And then on Saturday, the marshals kept a line so people couldn't leave. The police were fantastic. They did arrest somebody that wasn't even at that demonstration. So I think just dialing it back a bit, understanding that in Toronto, the Jewish community is upset, the Muslim community is upset, our officers have been out there for so long on so many lines, I can understand some of them just getting frustrated with having to be there. Let's just remember, we're Toronto. Big demonstrations
They arrested people there. That was what prompted. I mean, John Reed said he thinks it's reckless because there were arrests. Those arrests were made for reasons. So why did you see fit, if those arrests were made for a reason, unlawful protest, why did you, take on the police on this again?
Well, I wouldn't say I took on the police on this, Libby. I think that when I signed that, it recognized that there are heightened tensions in the world in Toronto, and there may be situations, there are situations where people have the right to protest, the right to assembly, and everybody just needs to be careful with that. I think somebody who was trying to get home, they just lived in the neighborhood, they got arrested. I do believe that once you send the horses into a demonstration or any kind of assembly of any kind, that changes the nature of it. And they were there, they were sent in. So it just means you're going to have a melee and people are going to be arrested. So dial everything back. And I think it would be helpful if the president of the TPA dialed that back a bit too. I think the chief was very clear. We support the Jewish community. There's organizers there. We must be careful with anti-Semitism. We have to be careful with Islamophobia. We have to support our officers. It's not an easy time So it's okay to remind people we do have this right in the country and in the city.
And do you think those two other signatories who are on the police board, should they be removed?
Oh, that's not up to me. There, I don't think, you know, that's an issue that I think the chair of the board's going to look at that. But I don't think they weren't directing the police force. If you're on the police services board, you're not allowed to go out and say, don't do this, don't do that. That gets you in big trouble. And I can't direct the police in my ward. And by the way, I have a great relationship with 55. I support them in everything that they do there and keeping our community safe, and got wonderful, wonderful officers in command there. So I just think that, you know, that's a different question. And if he's raising that question, I think everybody needs to just calm down, dial it back, including John Reed.
Okay. I hope he gets your message, or we'll see if he gets your message. I want to take a few calls, Paula. Please hang on, because I want to ask you about those vacancy tax bills as well. But let's get through a couple of these calls on the matter at hand. Jody in Toronto. Hello, Jody.
Hi, Libby. Libby, I totally agree. People have the right to protest, to demonstrate, and to get their thoughts out there. It's a democracy, it's a right. But my question is, what about my rights as a citizen? I should be able to walk down the road not being blocked, or drive without having my car blocked, without getting sprayed with that pink stuff that they spray all over the place. Where are my rights? And as a taxpayer, I'm looking at a bill of $2 million a month for the police to look after these protests every weekend or whatever. That's not a good spend for my tax dollars. I really take offense to that. And listening to Ms. Fletcher, she's talking about everybody except the residents of Toronto. Where are our rights?
Okay, Jody, thank you for that. Let's go to Helen in Mississauga. Hello, Helen.
Oh, hello, Libby. I just with your past caller there, I'm agreeing, and I fully believe that there is no respect for the police any longer, and all the counselors and all the rest, they should be trying to help to sort of calm all this down by, like, there is laws. It used to be years ago, you couldn't stand a group of people on a corner or block a road or whatever without being asked to move along. So these things, they're so out of control, and it's wrong. We all, doesn't matter your religion, your color, your nationality, anything. You just shouldn't be doing it. You should leave it. Everyone has a right, and especially, like, if you want to walk along a street. You can't walk along those streets because those people are taking your rights away. And when the police are brought in, if the crowd is so big they need to bring the horses in, well, that's a good way. Move them back a bit. But it's sad. It's really sad that this country is like that. Everybody is allowed to protest, but to a point.
Okay, Helen, thanks. Let's go to Doreen in Kingston. Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Libby. I don't usually phone in when it comes to political stuff, but that counselor made my blood boil over. Where has she been when the protesters were getting out of hand, causing the damage, blocking the exits to on and off the highways, and people were screaming out and saying, why are they allowed to continue this and get worse and worse? Where are the police? So the police were hounded for how many weeks before they finally went in? And when she says you need to calm things down now that the police got involved and taken the action that they need to take against these violent people, now she's coming out and saying calm down. Well, that's what the police are trying to do, but they can't be calmed down when the protesters are going after them with weapons and the things that they're doing to the police. What is wrong with her? What planet is she from?
I get your drift. Bill. Hi, Bill in Toronto.
Hi.
Again. Okay. Second time.
Yeah, well, it's a doubleheader today. So, Paula, this rests solely on your shoulders and your fellow colleagues downtown. I look at the Jewish people out there protesting. They're peaceful. Most people go out and protest peacefully. The people people that are out there protesting, and I'm going to say it for Hamas, because there's been a lot of murder of Muslims all over the world, and they never protested. All of a sudden, once the Jews are involved, they're out there. And they're absolutely, some of the stuff they're saying, and you guys tolerated. You tolerated us tearing down our statues. You tolerated burning down our churches in Canada. It's directly related to you politicians. You people are the problem in this country right now. You're dividing us. You're pitting us against each other.
Okay,
these
Bill.
People need to be checked out and dealt with.
Okay, thanks, Bill, for that. Okay, Paula, before we move to the vacant tax, do you like to respond?
Yes, so I didn't say for the police to calm down. I said I thought John Reed should calm down. I want to be really clear for that caller. And that democracy does cost a lot. Remember the convoy, and they ruled that, yes, they had the rights to be there. That cost a heck of a lot of money, Libby. And I am saying that city council is the one that said you can't go on bridges anymore. We removed that right from the from the protesters. So just to clear a few of those things up. But I also got caught as that woman first caller. I got caught as a driver trying to go through town with that big big protest. And the city sometimes has huge protests. I was in the revolving restaurant the day the Tamil community went on the Gardner, and that held traffic up everywhere. That was handled by then Chief Bill Blair. So I appreciate the chief. I appreciate his approach. I think that hopefully this is Toronto. We always get to a good place. But yep, sometimes you might get held up in your car because there's a demonstration in our city, Libby.
Okay. Just moving along to the vacant tax, I'm curious, do you know how so many of those erroneous tax bills are apparently reversed already? How did that happen? Do you know?
Well, you know what? When it turned out that they just hadn't done this very well, they did kick into action pretty quickly. I mean, I was upset. Speaker Nunziata was upset. The budget chief was upset. The mayor was really upset. And the staff then got a plan together very quickly. There were 5,000 calls a day for a number of days from people that had just said, what the heck is this about? And it ended up last Friday that city staff were calling people back and walking them through. So made a big mess, didn't do it right, but a quick recovery in talking to many people. So 62,000 of these have now been reversed. 62,000 should never have happened, but at least they've been reversed very quickly.
And you were saying that before all of this, city staff assured you that it would be fine, but it was anything but fine.
I think we were assured at council that that would be fine. I think the mayor was assured that it would be fine. But she's had a few of these little messes to clean up, like Cafe T.O., that was a mess. This rollout was a mess. And the fact is, very happy the city staff got on it so quickly. But, you know, if you're somebody who just collects money, please don't think that you know how to talk to people about what they need to do. That's a different skill, Libby. You have a skill. You're a great communicator. That's what this needed, communications, not over sending out a multi-language white paper in your tax bill that nobody read. Come on.
But are there going to be any consequences? I think one thing that really bothers people, especially in this economy, especially in the midst of inflation, is that there seem to be different rules. So if you're a city staff member and you mess something really big up, it appears that there's no consequence. You don't lose your job, you don't get suspended, and you get a big raise.
Well, I'm not the one calling on that. That will be the city manager and the CFO. But I think they're eating a lot of humble pie at the moment, or crow, whichever dish they might like to eat, because they have to. And we are having this conversation tomorrow at executive. So we'll see what happens there. I don't see how you can explain this away when at city council we all said, we don't really think you've got a great plan here. Oh, yeah, it's a great plan. So let's just see on performance review when it comes around next time what happens to the staff that thought they knew what they were doing. They collect the money really well, you know, our taxes, they know where all the money is, but that isn't the same as telling people what they need to do. You know that very well because you are a skilled communicator.
Well, thank you. people have talked about, well, you can tell if a place is vacant from usage of water and things like that. And apparently staff have said, no, that violates privacy. Is that back on the table somehow?
Oh, I think that will be back on the table somehow to see what's happening there. And what, you know, these laws, these privacy laws, it's, I think it's called MFIPA, they really rule us now in a big way in the city. I remember in Calgary when they did all the licensing of pets, Libby, the Postal Service told the city who had a dog and who didn't. Thought that might be easy. And then we heard, can't do that anymore. Everybody has the right to their privacy. You're not allowed to say what goes on there. So these aren't city rules that say we can't look at that. I would look at that in a flash. These are provincial rules, I believe, as to whether or not we can look at your house and say, oh, look how much electricity you used last year. Or look how much, even with grow-ops, remember the grow-ops? They would, at the end, they'd have to look and see how much electricity they used. Well, you could have known there was a grow-op there if you'd been able to look earlier. But that seems to be against the rules, Libby.
Okay. Councillor Paula Fletcher, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Though I do have to say that I don't think, certainly not our audience, accepted the explanation of that letter. I'm looking at the clock. I am going to try to get two more very quick calls on that subject in. Sheila in Mississauga. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine.
All I want to say was Canada was a peace-loving, peace-giving country, prosperity. Everything is gone down the drain now. We let all these people come here and they bring their problems here. All around the world, this is happening. They want, you give them an inch, they want a foot. After that, they want a yard. And after that, they want the whole lot.
Okay. Thanks, Sheila. I don't know. That's one of the things, I guess, is that when you come to Canada, leave the old country fights back in the old country. That's always a good plan. But of course, we are a nation of immigrants. Ron in Guelph, what's your take?
Okay, I'll make it really quick, Levy. So everybody saw the pictures in the newspaper of that one guy during the protest walking around with what was called a fake suicide vest.
A fake suicide vest, yeah. Yep. That was this weekend.
If you or I were walking down the street wearing that vest, you know for a fact that we'd be arrested in a minute, right?
I assume so. I don't know.
I mean, walking around with a suicide vest, boy, there's an invitation to get arrested, and yet the police really didn't do anything about it. So there's a difference in... I still think the protesters are being given much more leeway than anybody else would.
Okay, I've got to let you go. I'm out of time. Thanks, Ron, for your call. Again, thanks to John Reed and Councillor Paula Fletcher. And that's all the time we have for today. And hopefully I will get where I'm going to catch that solar eclipse, which is a much happier prospect.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.